You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about how God sends the Word. And specifically, we said the Father sends the Son, for the Son is the Word incarnate. And we also talked about how the Son sends the Spirit. So as the Son sent out the apostles, he sends the Spirit upon the apostles as they're sent out to proclaim the Word. Now, also in Scripture, you have the language that the Father also sends the Holy Spirit. So the Father and the Son send the Spirit. Yet there was that one passage in particular in John 15 that said that the Son sends the Spirit, but the Spirit proceeds from the Father. Now we're going to talk about that proceeding from the Father. Because in the Scripture, technically, there's only this one verse that talks about the Spirit and proceeding from, specifically, the Father, not the Son. But yet the Church confesses that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. So in today's lecture, we're going to talk about how to confess the Holy Trinity, that we confess the divine essence in unity, yet we also confess the plurality of persons in Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about how we confess that, declaring that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are co-essential, that's of the same essence, or consubstantial, as sometimes we say from the Latin West. Or we also declare that they are co-eternal, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always existed. And of course, we also confess the Holy Trinity by declaring that the Father and the Son are co-equal. They are given equal honor and glory. So in today's lecture, we'll look at the Athanasian Creed, how we confess the truth of the doctrine of the Blessed Trinity, and we'll look how this developed in the way that we confess it. Not that the theology evolved, but because of controversies and the need for clarity, the terminology developed so that we could be clear on what we're confessing. So we'll look at that Athanasian Creed. We'll look at the council from Toledo in Spain back in 589. We'll also look at the split between the East and the West in 1054. And then we'll come up to the council in Florence in 1441. Let's go ahead and begin our lecture. In John chapter 15, John gives to us, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declaring to us divine realities, giving to us the very words of Jesus, when Jesus teaches his disciples, saying this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." That's John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. So here Jesus is about to send out his apostles. Of course, this is the night in which he will be betrayed. So Jesus is also about to be rejected by his own people. But he is revealing these divine realities to his disciples that after his crucifixion and his resurrection, he will send them out with the Holy Spirit so that we can hear this message, this wonderful message that in Christ, God is reconciling the world, that we now have access to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. But now after hearing such a passage where Jesus says he will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, then the question may arise, why is it that some churches say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, while other churches say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. In particular, we see this distinction between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. So those in the Western Church following into Europe and in the West, they confess that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, specifically in the Nicene Creed. Whereas the Eastern churches, those in the Middle East, into Russia, Greece, in that whole area, they confess in the Nicene Creed that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. That additional phrase, from the Son and from the Son, is not added in their confession. So we want to discuss this and talk about this. We want to be clear, first of all, that there is a difference between sending and proceeding. Sending is the language that we use to declare that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. This is a claim of the fact that Jesus is given equal honor and glory with the Father. For in other passages, we hear that the Father sends the Holy Spirit. So both Jesus and the Father are said to send the Holy Spirit. So when we talk this language of sending, we're declaring that both the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit because both are given equal honor and glory. They are co-equal. But yet when we use the language of proceeding, now we're talking about the fact that when we confess the Holy Trinity, that all three persons are co-essential. So when we say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, we're saying he is of the same essence, the same substance as the Father. But again, when you look at this passage, it says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. So let's talk a little bit more in detail about this question. So this passage is the only passage in the New Testament where this word proceeds is even used to talk about the Holy Trinity, to talk about any person of the Holy Trinity. The only place in the New Testament scriptures where proceeds is used to teach us the correlation between the Holy Spirit and the Father. The Greek word is ekoporetai, which comes from the root ekoporeomai. This Greek word is not used in the New Testament to teach us about the correlation between the Holy Spirit and the Son. Nor is it used to teach us about the correlation of the Son and the Father. So it's unique that in this passage it says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. Because we don't have a passage in Scripture that says that the Son proceeds from the Father, nor do we have a passage in Scripture that says the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Son. So again, why is it that some churches say or confess that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son? Now let's take a look at the historical background. In the Nicene Creed, we confess the God in whom we believe, the God in whom we teach, who has revealed himself in the sacred scriptures. So the Nicene Creed that we know today began to take shape in the ecumenical council in Nicaea in AD 325. This council was called together to address the issue brought up by Arius, the heretic, who denied that the Son was of the same substance or essence of the Father. So we have to understand that, first of all, this Nicene Creed, when this was formulated to clarify what we confess, the issue at hand was the correlation between the person of the Son with the Father. Was the Son, or is the Son, of the same divine essence as the Father? Because Arius wrongly taught that the Son was a created being. So thus, the council articulated the faith to declare the truth that the Son is of the same substance as the Father, that he is begotten, not made, like Arius was saying, that he is being of one substance with the Father. So that, understand, at that council in 325, the issue at hand was whether or not the Son was of the same divine essence as the Father. The issue at hand was not if the Holy Spirit is of the same essence of either the Father or of the Son. So the Council confirms that we confess that the Father and the Son are consubstantial. They are co-essential of the same divine essence. So that later this teaching was reaffirmed and the article on the Holy Spirit was expanded in the Ecumenical Council meeting in Constantinople, which of course is modern-day Istanbul. So that council met in 381. So you have the council begins in 325, but they're trying to articulate the faith that we confess about the Son. Is the Son of the same divine essence of the Father, or is he a created being? So the beginning issue was who the Son is. Later on, as this argumentation, as this debate continued to heat up, as there was clarity, as there was confusion, later in 381, what we confess about the Holy Spirit was expanded to clarify that He is truly God. So the text generated from this meeting in 381 stated that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. This was to declare that the Holy Spirit is not a created being. Rather, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit has the same divine essence as the Father. Just like the Son is begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, God of God, light of light, true God of true God. This is who the Son is. So likewise, the article on the Holy Spirit declares that He proceeds from the Father, quoting from this passage in John chapter 15. For this distinction in the three persons of the Trinity is that the Son was begotten of the Father, and the Spirit proceeds from the Father. Now, about 100 years later, toward the end of the 5th century, an elaborate creed confessing the faith in the Holy Trinity was circulated in the West. This came to be known as the Athanasian Creed. It remained true to the Orthodox teaching of Athanasius. Athanasius, of course, was the big defender of the faith, arguing against Arius the heretic. So that Athanasius wanted to clearly confess what we have been given to confess in the Scriptures, that Christ is true God, not a created being. That the Father was always the Father. The Son was always the Son. And so this Athanasian Creed takes on the name of the champion of this cause, Athanasius. Because again, Arius denied that the Father and the Son were of the same substance. Arius had rejected the doctrine of the Blessed Holy Trinity. Now, in this Athanasian Creed, as it developed, it was specifically used to declare the teaching of the Holy Trinity with precision. It states, "The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance." The text of the Athanasian Creed goes on to say, "The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding." The statement teaches the truth that the Holy Spirit is both of the Father and of the Son. The Holy Spirit is of the same substance, the divine essence. The language of proceeding was used to teach that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are consubstantial. They are of the same substance. Now later, in a local council meeting in Spain in the year 589, this article regarding the Holy Spirit in the Athanasian Creed was then modified. So taking this faith that's now being confessed in the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed is now modified in the West at this council in Spain. This is the famous Filioque, which is Latin for the phrase, "and the Son." So the modification now to the Nicene Creed being used in the West is that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. It's this additional phrase to bring clarity that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are consubstantial. They are of the same divine essence. It confesses the divinity of Christ. At that time, the West was dealing with a resurgence of Arianism, and later it will have to face Islam. That says that they too believe in Jesus, but they believe that Jesus is merely only a man like Arius did. That Jesus is not God, that's what those who followed Muhammad the heretic said. Now remember that Islam is a Christian heresy. Muhammad took some false teachings from the early church, mixed them together to form new teachings in a new religion. And so in the West, dealing with the rise of this new heresy, they want to emphasize the deity of Christ. Jesus is truly man, he is truly the prophet, but he is more than just merely a man. He is also truly God, begotten of the Father from all eternity. So this phrase was added in the West to clarify our confession of the deity of Christ. But the problem arises that this was a local council in Spain. It was not an ecumenical council in which this added phrase was then added to the confession of the universal church. So this phrase is used commonly in the Western Church, that is the Latin side of the church, not the Eastern Church, that is the Greek-speaking church. Now in the meantime, though, the Greeks began to use the language that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. Now they don't officially do this by changing or adapting the creed, the Nicene Creed, but instead this is how their theologians begin to talk, to confess, to clarify that the Son is also of the same divine essence. So understand that in the West modifies the creed by saying that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, but the theologians of the East, in their catechesis, are teaching that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son, to try to say the same thing, of course, without modifying an ecumenical creed. Now, the Latin theologians in the West felt that the terminology that the East was using here, that the Holy Spirit proceeds through the Son, is too ambiguous. It leaves things in the realm of uncertainty about the equality of all three persons of the Son. And so in the West, they didn't want this left in the ambiguous realm of whether or not the Son is co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, so that's why they refused to talk in this type of language. Thus, the Latins preferred to maintain the equality by saying that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, to bring sharp distinction here and clarity, that the Father and the Son are co-equal. They are co-eternal and, most importantly, co-essential. That is, of the same divine essence. Now, the Greek theologians emphasize this distinction between each person of the Holy Trinity, while the Latin theologians were emphasizing the co-equality and co-essential, consubstantial nature of the Holy Trinity. Now, in 1054, you forward up quite a few centuries, this is when the East, the Greek-speaking church, and the West, the Latin-speaking church, split, so that in 1054, they both excommunicate each other. Now, from that point in time, one of the characteristics of the West, of the Latin-speaking Western church was to use the phrase that we confess the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, while the Eastern Greek-speaking churches continue to use the phrase in their teaching that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. Now, the difference in wording was one of deep division between the East and the West, both sides not seeing what the other was trying to confess, but instead only seeing the difference in the way they were using their words. So it wasn't until the 15th century, now I say 15th century, that's 100 years before the Reformation, in the year 1441, there was a local council in the city of Florence in Italy that healed this deep division. At this council in Florence in 1441, delegates from the East, Greek-speaking theologians, met with delegates from the West, Latin-speaking theologians, to talk about this issue on how to confess the three persons of the Holy Trinity as being consubstantial of the same substance. And the conclusion of this council was that they agreed. The language had then been adopted from the Athanasian Creed that was currently being used in the West to clarify the divinity of the Son and the co-equality of the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Thus, this council concluded that both the East and the West agree on the wording of the Athanasian Creed, saying that the Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding, so that he is of the same divine essence of the Father, of the same divine essence of the Son, that he is consubstantial, that he is of the same substance. Now, the Holy Scriptures not only teach us that all three persons of the Trinity are of the same divine essence, but again, they also teach that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are co-equal. So, for instance, in that passage back in John 15, or even in the passage back in John 14, we learn to confess that these three persons are co-equal. So in 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So here in John 14, 26, Jesus says, "The Father will send the Holy Spirit." But yet in the very next chapter, that's where Jesus said these words, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." So in John 14, Jesus says that the Father sends the Holy Spirit, while in John 15, Jesus says he sends the Holy Spirit. So likewise, both the Father and the Son pour out the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 declares that the Son, after he is ascended to the right hand of the Father, pours out the Holy Spirit. So that in Acts chapter 22, verse 33, we read this, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he," namely Jesus, "has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." That's Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Then in Titus chapter 3, regarding the Father, the person of the Father, we confess that the Father, that is, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Acts chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. So again, in Acts chapter 2, it says the Son pours out the Holy Spirit, while in Titus chapter 3, it says that the Father pours out the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is said to be sent and poured out both from the Father and the Son. And so this teaches us that the Father and the Son are co-equal, given the same honor and glory. Yet, the language of proceeding is more than just being sent or poured out. It emphasizes the emanation from the same essence or substance. The Holy Spirit is co-equal and also of the same essence and divine substance of the Father. And as the Son is begotten of the Father, the same divine essence and substance of the Father, thus the Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son. You see, the Holy Spirit is referred to as both the Spirit of the Father and also in other passages, the Spirit of the Son. Regarding this correlation between the person of the Father and the Spirit, the Gospel according to St. Matthew in chapter 10 states, For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Father. Likewise, in Galatians chapter 4, this correlation between the person of the Son and the person of the Spirit is stated in this way. So that Paul says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That's Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. So again, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of the Father, and He is the Spirit of the Son. He is of the same divine essence as the Father and of the Son. Now, while John chapter 15, verse 25 teaches us that when the Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus says, "Whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father," this does not take away from the equality of the Father and the Son. For you see, in the very next chapter of John, John chapter 16, Jesus says this, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. See, the Holy Spirit takes of what belongs to the Son. The Son is of the same essence of the Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are consubstantial. Thus, to say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father is not to deny that He proceeds from the Son. Rather, what the Son has, He has from the Father. Thus, Jesus says, "All things that the Father has are Mine." Both the Spirit and the Son have their divine essence from the Father. Martin Chemnitz, the great Lutheran theologian, put it this way, "It is customary to place the name of the Son behind the name of the Father, and to refer all His activities to the Father, from whom He possesses co-equality with the Father." So as Chemnitz says this, Jesus in John chapter 5 says, "I can do nothing of Myself." Likewise, Jesus says He speaks what the Father has given Him to speak. And so too, the person of the Holy Spirit speaks what He is given to speak. Now, in John chapter 20, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. Jesus said to His apostles, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent Me, even so I am sending you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is John chapter 20, verses 21 through 22. Now, commenting on this passage, St. Augustine declared that here Jesus gave the Holy Spirit by breathing on them so that He might thereby demonstrate also that the Holy Spirit proceeds from Him. In the words of St. Augustine. As students of theology, we continue to grow in our understanding of God's Word and how to clearly confess it to an unbelieving world.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening. And may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.